Second Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read first several verses, down through verse 9. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now listen to this. Having a form of godliness. My soul. What a mess. They're all this, but they've got a form of godliness. They're religious. And they're probably works mongers. Well, no doubt they're works mongers, depending on something they do to bring them through to glory, and not looking to Jesus Christ alone. If they were looking to Christ alone, then they would be born again and would not be of this kind of spirit. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They deny any internal work of the Spirit of God to give you a new outlook on life, a new perspective, a new desire in your heart, a new walk for your feet, a new talk, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus and give you a new nature. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. Yeah. Separate yourself. Now the world says, oh, now wait a minute, you can't do that. Well, you can, and we ought to. But we'll get more on that. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, the title of my message this morning is Jannes and Jambres and Pharaoh, opposers of God. They opposed the living God. Now turn to turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. Now you all know how that the Lord had, Moses had fled Egypt because he feared Pharaoh, because Pharaoh wanted to put him to death, because it was found out that he had slain an Egyptian. Moses went out and he saw an Egyptian abusing an Israelite, a slave, no doubt. And so Moses looked this way and he looked that way and he saw that nobody was around, and so he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Well, the next day he went out and there were two Hebrews conflicted and fighting one another, and he said, now you folks ought not to do that. And they said, well, who made you a judge over us? Will you slay us as you did the Egyptian? He said, oh, that's known. And so he fled Egypt because Pharaoh also knew and sought to kill him.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to read that account through the eyes of grace, look at Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 11. Maybe we should just turn over there and do that right now. I hadn't intended to do that, but look at Hebrews 11. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, looking at it by through the covenant of grace and through eyes of grace, cast a little different shade on it than what the actual history of it does. God doesn't see, he beholds no iniquity in Israel. Anyway, that being as it is, let's go back to Exodus chapter 7. So, Moses, the Lord had sent Moses down into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses in chapter 7, verse 1, see, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh. I've made you a king, a ruler, someone who is to be held in awe in his eyes. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now the Lord intended to display his awesome power in the destruction of that country. He was going to destroy Egypt in order to deliver Israel from them. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, I'm in verse 1, Isaiah 43:1, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now the Lord says exactly the same things to us. Thou art mine. I've bought you. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Now look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. No, I'm sorry, chapter 2. But there were false prophets among the people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Who's this written to? Well, it's written to the servants of Jesus Christ. It's one of the Jewish Christian epistles. So it was written to Christian Jews who were locally around Peter, but it's written to us also, but to them. And he says that God has bought you. God bought you. What did he pay for you? Egypt, Ethiopia, and Seba. He bought them out from he ransomed them from the grasp of Egypt upon them. So it's not that the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed them. He did redeem some of them, but that's not to his written. He's written to Jews whose ancestors had been delivered from Egypt by the Lord, paying a ransom of Egypt, Ethiopia, and Seba, and who gave people for their life. Now, back to Exodus. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, for this cause, the Lord brought up Pharaoh and his nation, gave him great wealth and a mighty military, in order that he could stretch forth his hand and destroy them to display his power and make himself a name in the earth. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. Now that's what he means by laying his hand. I'm going to destroy Egypt. And bring forth mine armies. Now his armies were armies of flies, lice, frogs, locusts, other things like that. But they're God's armies, and they're mighty in what he intends to do and what they do. And my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt with great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have stretched forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. So, the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron down into Egypt, and he had given them some signs to authenticate that they were indeed from the Lord, and that the message that they had for Pharaoh was authentic from the Lord. And those signs were that, first of all, Moses was given that he had the rod, and they were to cast the rod down in front of Pharaoh, and it would become a serpent. Well, Moses did that. He went into Pharaoh, and Aaron cast his rod down on the floor, ground, whatever it was, and it turned into a serpent. So Pharaoh called for Jannes and Jambres, and they came forward and they cast their rods down upon the same floor. And the effect was that it was to neutralize the testimony of that Moses and Aaron had given. Well, we can do the same thing. You can. You're not so much. Who said you come from God? And who is your God? We've got gods down here in Egypt, and they're just as good as your gods. Our sticks turned into serpents just like yours. But then Moses' serpent turned around and swallowed up theirs. Yeah. Well, in a little while, of course, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He wouldn't let him go, and God hardened his heart. And so the Lord told Moses, go out to the water. Pharaoh comes out to the water, and go out there and stretch out your rod over the water, and it'll turn to blood. So Moses did that, and of course Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses by doing the same thing he did. Now false preachers, false prophets, well, they meet together and they worship. They have prayer. They have communion. They do good works, probably more good works than grace people do. Well, I don't know about that, but they do good works anyway in the eyes of men. And they mimic or they do things that we do to suppress the truth that's in us. They say, well, God loves everybody. We say God loves his elect. They say he wants to save everybody. But we say he came into this world to save his people from their sin. He got the job done. They say, now the Lord will save you, but he just saves you on trial. If you mess up, he'll put you in hell at the last day. But we say, when God saves you, he'll keep you unto the end. They say you better watch out. If you sin, God will throw you off. We say you're dead to sin. We say that when Christ died on the cross, that he put all your sins away. Your horrible sins, as well as them that you consider not so horrible. Those sins that you can't face, God put them away. And there are some who have sin that they just can't face. Christ did. What we ought to do is when we're facing a great debt of sin is to trust that the Lord Jesus is able to put our sins away. And has, not only that he's able to, but that he has, and that he's made us dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to death, dead to judgment, dead to all those things, and alive and justified in his sight and alive unto God. So we need to come to that place when we trust him that he has put away our sins.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we don't want to sin, but we know ourselves pretty well. We know that we're going to. At some point in time, or all the time, we're going to be committing one sin or another. Either we're going to get a little road rage and shake our fist at somebody, or whatever. There's always something that comes along that provokes our old nature. And we're found out again, we're sinners. So, Jannes and Jambres, they withstood Moses by mimicking them. And the world and worldly churches say, well, you folks got no crowd over there. Why would anybody want to attend your church? There ain't nothing going on over there. You don't have any basketball goals for your children. You don't have a child's program. You don't have a gymnasium or anything else. You don't have anything for the youth. You just got a bunch of old fogies over there. But you know, we're not to mimic the world. And certainly we don't want to. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of God, but it is of the world. And he said in James 4:4, if any man love the world, he's the enemy of God.
Yeah.
So Come out from among them and be ye separate. Israel was to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. They were to leave Egypt completely behind. Get it behind them. Leave it. And go three days' journey into the wilderness. The Pharaoh, of course, had something to say about that. We'll get to that in a minute. But Jannes and Jambres, they withstood Moses as false prophets do today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you've run into that and you've had to battle that. And you know how that is. But it's if you haven't run into it, you will. So Jannes and Jambres made the water blood, and also they brought up frogs to come up and cover the land, as Moses and Aaron did. But look at I think it's 8:19, Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. And let's begin reading in verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth now thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now this is a little different, because here we got ordinary dust out here that is being smitten with the rod, but all of a sudden it's got life. It's living lice. And the Egyptians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. Only God gives life. They couldn't do it. And so there were lice upon man and upon beasts, and these lice were the ones that Moses and Aaron had brought up by smiting the dust. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They couldn't do it. They were defeated. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, so Jannes and Jambres were defeated. As it says over there, they withstood them, and their folly was made manifest, as also all these false prophets will be. But Pharaoh had some strategies of his own to withstand the Lord. And he said, look at Exodus, look at down at verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now Egypt represented the world, sin and death and the power of Satan. So he says, okay, you can worship your God, but do it in the land. Stay in the world. Don't separate yourself. Don't completely separate yourself from the world. Well, you have to get along with people who have a crowd. Now, you can't preach that. You can't preach that old election. And you certainly can't preach that old predestination. Or you run off everybody. You won't have a crowd. stay in the land. Make friends with Egypt. Make friends with the world. Don't offend anybody. So Pharaoh had his own tactics for keeping the children of Israel. Then look on over in verse 28. He says, 8:28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Don't be real strong in faith so much that you completely separate yourself and cut yourself off from us. Just stay close by, and we may be able to pull you back in. That's a trick of the world. Just don't go very far away. Now the Lord wants his people, come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. You shall be my sons and my daughters. Look at that. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Look at Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Look at Acts 10:36. Acts 10:36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John was preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, that wasn't where I wanted to be exactly, I don't think. Anyway, to separate ourselves from the world, 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, and denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we're to separate ourselves from those who have a form of godliness, but deny God's power. That he saves who he will, when he will, as he will, always as he will, and only as he will. And that he gives us a new heart, puts a new spirit in you. And that the flesh is born of the flesh, and we need to remember this, that our flesh, our bodies, are not born again. This old man is the same as he was before the Lord saved me. And it's not going to get any better until after death. Then, look at Romans 8, 26, I believe it is. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart, that ain't where I want to be, back up a few more verses. Verse 21. Because the creature itself, that is our persons, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Now, the redemption of a body will come when we're called forth out of the graves at the resurrection of the just. This earth is going to be destroyed by fire. It's already been destroyed by water, but it's going to be destroyed by fire. But before that, we're going to receive a new body. Flesh and blood, as we know it, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, and Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed at the last trump when Christ comes again. So we are in spirit. We're dead with Christ, dead to sin, dead to the law, and alive unto God. We live unto God. God will not, cannot impute sin to us, because we're already been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our sins on the cross, put them away. So sin cannot be imputed to us. The world doesn't want, religious world doesn't want men to know that. Because they lose all their power over men to guilt them into doing things. They want to guilt you into, well, you got to live a holy life. You got to make yourself holy. It's all up to you. What a lie. We are holy in the Lord. We're perfectly holy in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it don't matter how we do or what we do. If we have believed that Jesus is the Christ, we are holy. You couldn't get much worse than David, who committed adultery and murder by the hands of the Ammonites. But the Lord said, I put your sin away. He was just as much a saint of God and just as much justified while he was in the arms of Bathsheba as he was when he was down at the synagogue worshiping. Mm-hmm. We're dead to this world.
Yeah.
We're crucified with Christ. Yeah. And we're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to us. And we got no business dabbling in it. But sin cannot be laid to our charge. And it won't be. people worry. People who hear this works gospel, they're always worried to death. They're troubled. Well, of course they are. They think everything's up to them. They got no peace. They don't trust Christ, who has put away their sin. They don't know what God's salvation is. And I really think that most of them don't know God. But anyway, Pharaoh said, well, just don't go very far. Just hang around real close by. Maybe we can get you to come back. Oh, me. And then, let me see what we got here in 8:27. Exodus 8:27. The next thing that Pharaoh tried was he had four things that he tried. One was, well, don't you can worship here in the land. You can worship in with the world. And we'll all get along and be fine. Well, just don't go very far was the next one. And the next one was, well, you can go. Take all your men, folks. But don't take your children. Leave your children here. Leave your heart in Egypt.
Yeah.
He knew that as sure as they left their children, they'd be back. Now you can go worship, but leave your children. Remember Lot's wife. Her heart never left Sodom. She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. Then the next thing he tried was he said, well, all right then. You can go take your children. And he said, but how will you go? Moses said, well, we'll go with our sons and our daughters. We'll go with our old and our young. We'll go with our flocks and our herds. And we'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And that separated them from Egypt to worship the Lord. Moses said, well, or Pharaoh said, well, you can go. You can take your young and your old. You can take your sons and your daughters. But you can't take your herds. You can't take your flocks. Don't take any blood with you. Don't take any sacrificial animals with you. Nothing that typified, that was typical of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and serve the Lord with a Christless religion. That was the most subtle of all of his schemes to subvert the worship of the Lord.
Yeah.
Just leave your flocks here. You don't need them. Mm-hmm. You don't need the blood. And that's what worldly religion says. Don't talk to us about that old bloody religion. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease. Don't speak right things to us. Prophesy to us of smooth things. Don't tell us there's got to be death. Christ died for us. And he delivered us from sin and death,
yes,
and from the power of Satan unto condemnation.
Yes.
We are dead with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Dead with Christ. So, there's a lot of there's a lot of attempts made on to keep the church from declaring the word of the Lord. Turn back to Isaiah 43 again. Isaiah 43. And let's read a few more verses there. We begin at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in mine sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. You know, Satan would tell us, well, you're just too sinful. The Lord don't love you. But we have God's testimony for it, that the Lord loved you. Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west, and will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. We don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to save his elect. He certainly is. Absolutely is. Men who are not saved is because God didn't save them. And he didn't save them according to his will. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that has ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye. Ye are my witnesses.
Amen.
We're God's witnesses. God has taught us the truth. And that's what we're to declare. That's what we are to tell anybody that's interested in talking to us about it. Here it is. We're not to try to keep from hurting their feelings. We're just to tell them the truth and leave it in the hands of the Holy Spirit to make it effectual to whom he will. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. What a privilege to know the living God, whom to know is eternal life. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall any be after. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen.